so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Well, go with me in your Bibles. We're going to go to several different passages of Scripture today. Thank you, Ben. We're going to go through several different passages of Scripture tonight. I started last Wednesday night talking about winning in battle. Winning in battle. I told you we're going to go to several different ones. Now, Pastor, why do you got all different versions? Because I have a computer and I can do that. And what this be like? Winning in battle. We begin talking about, I don't know about you, but in a battle, the best fights I've ever been in are those that I won. Amen? Now, listen. I don't want to get you all riled up. But how many has ever been in a fight? I'm not talking about you pushed somebody and they pushed you back, and the teachers were there to break it up. I mean, a slobber knocker, knock down, drag out. Somebody got hurt. All right, come on, go ahead and lift your hands. All right, man, y'all a violent church. Wow. Man, so much violence. Can't we all just get along? Amen. Ain't you glad we got saved? Amen. Oh, no, some of them had their hands raised and was saved. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully not. But the best battles that I've been in are those that I win. You know, I've never walked away from a fight that I lost, and I lost a couple. I never walked away from a fight that I lost going, man, that was a good fight. No. I walked away trying to reason out why he beat me or she. No, I'm just kidding on the sheep. I tried to reason away why I was defeated. Well, they were bigger than me. Well, they had better strategy than me. They hit harder than me. Or they could take a punch better than me, right? There was this one guy that I didn't lose the battle, but I thought I was, because I hit this guy several times, and it was like he was possessed by the devil. He just kept coming at me, and he was doing this. And I would hit him, and I would hit him so hard it would turn his head, but he'd come back. I was like, oh, Lord. Now, I was raised in church, but I wasn't saved. So I was thinking, I'm going to have to cast the devil out of this dude. But I realized the telephone pole did that to me when I grabbed him and ran him into it, so he quit doing all that. But the best fights, you know, I reasoned why I lost the fight. In this battle called life, we don't want to lose it. We want to win it. And I like, there was an old Southern gospel song years ago that Ronnie Henson, I believe, is the one who wrote it, that said that we may lose a battle now and then, but we're not going to lose the war. I don't know about you, but I've lost a few battles along the way, but I'm not going to lose the war. And so I started last week talking about winning in battle. So let's go a little bit further in winning in battle. And just to go ahead and let you know, I got a couple more of these I'm going to pull out, and I got one for next week, next Wednesday night, and the following. So, but 1 Corinthians, and this is kind of our series text, chapter 2, verse 14. And tonight I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. He uses you and I to make the fragrance of God everywhere we go." Now, everywhere we go, the fragrance of God ought to be there when we leave. The problem is, so many, there's another fragrance there when we leave, and it's not of God. But if we do it right, when we leave there, we can leave the fragrance of God there. That's all, folks. Psalms chapter 34, verse 19, one of my favorite scriptures, says many, are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, you know, you don't even have to graduate high school to recognize that many means more than one, right? So more than one afflictions are of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many, meaning there is more than one, but all circumfers it all. Everything that you go through, the Lord has the ability and will, if you will allow him to, deliver you out of them all. And then 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all others. Have you ever thought about that scripture for a moment? When I'm in battle, sometimes I realize that this is, or I don't really, I don't sometimes, I always realize that this is not the end game. That I have hope beyond here. Friends have come and gone in my life. Some left before I wish they had of. Some couldn't leave fast enough. Others that are still in my life, I'm praying that they leave. No, I'm just kidding. But friends have come into my life and left. But the one thing that I know is that my hope is not in this life. Oh, me neither, Pastor. That's why I just pray for Jesus to come quickly. And you look like you're living through hell trying to get to heaven. That's not God's will for your life. The Bible said, Jesus said, I come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. And in order to have that life, that means some battles have to be fought. That means that there is a devil that is against you, but Jesus is for you, and greater is he that's with you than he that is against you. Amen? So we understand that this life is not my hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Then the last verse we want to look at tonight is John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. One of the things I love about this scripture, you know, I almost said it's one of my favorite because it really is, but you're like, man, all of your scriptures are your favorite. And I'm not trying to be all spiritual and all that, but I got some favorite scriptures. But this is one of mine because it doesn't give any false advertisement. Now, if you were saved in the, late 80s, early 90s, you may have come across a doctrine that said if you come to Christ, everything's just going to be a tiptoe to the tulips. Anybody ever was saved under that doctrine? That, you know, bless God, it was just, if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be fine. You're not going to go through any trouble. You're always going to have money. You're always going to, everything, it's just victory, 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 victory. Well, somebody lied. But it wasn't Jesus. Because Jesus is speaking here. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Then he goes, in this world, or in the world, you will, not maybe, not probably, you will have tribulation. But then he says, be of good cheer. Man, you know, if he was my friend, and he is my friend, but if we were just sitting together somewhere, and he goes, man, you're going to go through some stuff, dude. Oh, man, I just see some stuff you headed for. Good Lord. I would not want to be you. But hey, cheer up. I mean, that is not the conversation I want to have. You know, I don't want to have a conversation. You know, me and Steve was at lunch today, and we were just talking, but I don't want Steve to go, "Ooh, man, Pastor, I see you headed for some stuff, man. Woo. Man, you're going to go through some stuff. The Lord has told me you're going to go through some stuff. Cheer up, though." But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And what that means is simply, you're going to go through some stuff, but the stuff you go through ain't going to be able to take you out of my hands. Because everything that you go through, I have already overcome it. There's nothing in the world that I haven't already overcome. And through my power and my might and my anointing, you can overcome any tragedy or tribulation that you personally go through. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to deliver you out of it. I'm going to deliver you through it. Amen? So there are many battles that we go through simply because we are Christians. Folks, if there's anybody unsaved here tonight, you're like, I don't want to be a part of that. There we go through because we're Christians. And others we bring on ourselves. Again, I think I said this last Wednesday night. But I sometimes believe the devil sits outside on the stoop of the church and cries because of all the stuff that we blame on him that he didn't have nothing to do with. You know, it's amazing. It's, you know, people, I had somebody was cutting my hair one time, and she said, she's known me and I knew her. Well, you know, Pastor, you got lucky with your kids. I was a baby, luck didn't have nothing to do with it. I worked hard. You know, and it's amazing, the harder I work, the more blessed I am. Come on, somebody. It's amazing, the closer that I stay with Jesus, the more blessed I am. It's amazing, the closer I stay with Jesus, things are not able to shake me at my core that I can get through this because I stay close to Jesus. It's because I know that he shall deliver me out of them all, as I know because he has overcome the world. That's why I do it. But however, I recognize I have brought things on myself. Why? Just for disobedience? You know, here's what you've got to understand. Every decision you make has a price tag attached to that decision. I don't care what it is. Every decision. You know, today, I'm happy to say, for the second time in 6 months, I went running. Amen. I'm trying to get back on it. Right? I jog. I don't run. I jog. It's a combination of jogging and walking. And I jog. And so, you know, when I jog, I usually eat better. Because I'm not going to do all that and go mess it up with eating wrong. And I was doing real good till this afternoon when I found a package of Snicker bars. It'd be rude for me not to eat a couple. And I bring this on myself, right? So tomorrow, when I get out there, I'm going to have to motivate myself to talk or to jog. How do you do that, Pastor? I call myself names. Get your fat self out there and run, you pig. Yeah. Hey, you got to do whatever works, right? But I know that tomorrow, when I'm running or jogging and I don't want to, I'm going to look back on today and realize, them Snickers made me do this. But no, it was me who brought those on, right? Now, that's a comical little story, but it's the truth. How many things do we go through that we blame on the devil or we blame on God? But there's another thing, another entity that is involved in the process of what we call life, and that is you. Now, we talk about King Jesus. Oh, yeah, we like King Jesus. Talk about King Jesus, King. But then we talk about the devil, and he's the king of the world, right? The king of this world. But there's another king that's involved, and that's me and you. I am king. And let me tell you, a kingdom is anywhere. Where is he at? I know. The kingdom is anywhere where the king's word is obeyed without question or hesitation. In a kingdom, the problem is we live in a democracy or a republic, so we think we want to live by democracy, but in a kingdom, only one person gets a vote, and that's the king. And so if you vote instead of allowing Jesus to vote through you, then you are responsible. A king is responsible for the provision and protection of that kingdom. So every time you vote, you're saying to God and to the devil, I am king of this. Well, when you say that, the devil goes, well, I'm bigger than you and I can whip you. So I think I'll come against you in that area because you think you're king, but I'm going to show you who's king. But Jesus stands over here and going, if you'll let me be king, I'll come in and fight your battle. If you let me be king, I'll come in and show you how to fight. Matter of fact, if you let me be king, all you got to do is sit over here and praise me while I fight the battle, because the battle's not yours any longer, because you've relegated your authority to my authority, and I'll fight the battle for you. Hey, glory. So when we disobey God, we may allow, or he may allow us to go through certain trials. However, when we return to him, we are restored. God desires that we obey him so that we can avoid unnecessary trials. When we obey him, he will bless us. He will bless us. Now, here's the problem. Some of us want to get extra credit for obeying for what we already know. Anybody know what I mean? I'll give you a case in point. One Sunday morning, now, this was before we had two services, I think. And one morning, I don't get up real early except for Sundays. Those of you who know me, I get up real early on Sundays now. We have two services. I'm usually here by 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. But before we had the two services, I didn't do that. The Lord woke me up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke up, I woke up out of a dead sleep. And I went, phew. And immediately I said, "I rebuke you, devil." Surely this can't be God. But long story short, I got up and began to pray. And man, I you know, those of you who have ever been in that spirit of prayer, that you know, that warrior spirit come on me, boy, in the name of Jesus. You know, I was praying up a storm. I got to church and I was thinking, man, it's going to be something else at church tonight or this morning. Man, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to preach like my coattails on fire. People are going to get saved. People be slaying all over the place in the spirit. People be shouting, jumping, swinging from chandeliers we don't even have. My God, it's going to be on. And I got it there in church and it was just a regular, ordinary service. So after, it was the two services. So after the second service, I was like, God, what's up with that? What's up with that? And here's what the Lord said. Why do you think every time you obey me, you get a treat? You know, that's how you train a dog. Right? How do you train a cat? I have no idea. I don't think you can. Usually with a BB gun. But anyway, let me move on. Hey, no, I'm just kidding for those of you cat lovers. They taste good. Don't worry about it. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The devil made me do it. I wasn't king there. I wasn't king right there. And then the devil just slipped in real quickly. All right. So, that's what the Lord said. Why do you think, you know, how would you like it if your kids, if you said, go clean your room. And they went and cleaned the room and they come back. What do you want? I want my reward. Can I have a cookie? No, you can't have no cookie. Or what about, you know, hey, listen, take the trash out. I take the trash out and you come back in. Well, what? I just did what you asked me to do. That's crazy. Because we want a reward for doing what the Lord tells us. However, we especially want a reward when the Lord specifically tells us something out of the ordinary. Well, I know, Dad, I normally take the trash out, but I don't normally take it to the road. But you asked me to take it to the road today, so do I get an extra credit for that? And that's the way we do with God. And God's going, no, you don't. But then sometimes you just do something simple, and you get credit. You get it blessed, shaken down, given back, running over, and you're like, because of motive. You were just doing what the Lord asked you. Have you ever did that to your kids? You know, listen, we had a situation, and he's not in here, he's in the youth department, but we had a situation, we were working around here at the church, and we were all the staff was out there working, and we had somebody that came up and was just helping as a young teenager, and man, he just worked, didn't complain, worked for 2 days, and so afterwards, you know, I said, hey, man. And there were some other teenagers here that stayed in the gym the whole time we worked. Now, I can't stand lazy people. I just want you to know that right now. I can't stand lazy people. So anyway, this boy worked with us all this time. And so at the end of the couple of days, I said, hey, man, I said, I want to give you a little something. And I took out $100 and I gave it to him. And he goes, oh, no, Pastor, I was just out here helping. I go, I know. I said, man, but you were such a help. And, you know, you go to high school, you ain't got no J-O-B, you ain't got no money, but you worked hard, man. And I want you to know I appreciate that. And I just want to bless you. The Lord said for me to bless you. Now, he wasn't doing it for the blessing. But he got the benefit of it, right? Now, it would have been a different thing if I'd have said, now, if you come here and work, I'll give you $100. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Then I might have given it to him, but I wouldn't have gave it with such freedom. Am I making sense to you? That's how we've got to serve God. I don't do what I do, so I'm just looking to God every moment, everything I do. I'm looking for. All right. I'm getting closer. No. You do what you do because it's the right thing to do. You do what you do because you're in love with Jesus. You do what you do. I don't expect that from my wife. Do you expect that from your spouse? That might be why you're having trouble. Hey, honey, I went to work today. What you plan on giving me for going to work today? Nothing. Because most of the women go, because I went to work today too. What you going to give me? And the men are like, you know what I'm going to give you. And the woman goes, I ain't want that. I ain't get that for free. I'm just saying. For married folk. Married folk. Not we married in the spirit. No, you got a licensed married folk. All right. Point one. Why does God allow us to go through these trials? Well, I've been talking about it for the last 15, 20 minutes already. He allows trials to come our way because he loves us and does not want us to stray from his path for our lives. That's why. You know, why do you discipline your children? If you don't know the answer to that, then you need to read a book.
Well, I discipline my children because I like dishing out punishment.
You're an idiot. You discipline your children to help them to make right decisions. And let me just help some of you that don't like disciplining your children. If you will do it consistently, there will come a time you really ain't got to do much. Amen? You might, you know, listen, when my Jillian, and y'all know Jillian, when she was in the third grade, I thought I was going to have to go to DCL for abuse. I whipped that child every day of her life. But you know what? We got through with that. We didn't have to anymore. At some point in time, I can't tell you the day, it just clicked. That, if I don't do that, I might not get a whipping. And you know what? And then it came to the point, all I'd have to do is look at her. Then it came to the point, all I had to do is, and she'd, all right, Daddy. And we could go to people's house, and people didn't have to baby-proof their house with a sixth grader. Well, glory, parenting 101. Although we may have troubles in life, God will bring us through them. Psalm 71:20, write some of this stuff down. Psalms 71:20 says, you have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. Man, I like that. See, God never leaves you down. If he allows you to go down, he always brings you out. And here's the cool part. Job said, he has set an end to darkness, which means that he has set the parameters of where, how far down you can go. If he has allowed it. If you allowed it, you're on your own. God's correction is a benefit to us in the long run. Just like when you discipline your children. It's a benefit in the long run. You know, listen. Now we have little Don Juan over here. What's that baby's name, Juan? Julian. I want to call him Juan. I don't know. Oh, yeah. What's the daddy? Is that Juan? Jose. Man, there's going to be I'm prophesying. There's going to be a Juan somewhere. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I want that baby's name to be Don Juan, so it's going to be Juan for me. Because I told him to name that baby Ron. But they didn't, so I'm going to say Juan. That rhymes with Ron. Anyway. If you let that baby just do whatever it wants to do. Oh, it's easier sometimes to let them just do whatever they want to do. And wouldn't it be easier for God just to let us do what we want to do? But we know what that's going to create. That's going to create a brat. That's going to create a menace to society. Right? And, see, he knows. He understands. I'm not a pastor, it's not me. But here's what Job said. Job 5:17. Happy and fortunate is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise or reject the correction of the Almighty, subjecting you to trial and suffering. For he wounds, but he binds up. He smites, but his hand heals. If the Lord brings trial your way, he will hold you, correct you, and when you are corrected, he also heals. How many has ever done this? How many parent has ever spanked your child and hugged them? Because you want to know, I don't dislike you, baby. I'm just not going to let you act like this. I love you, right? How many has ever used that phrase, this hurts me more than it does you? My mama died several times because she was killing me. Mm-hmm. Talk about DCF. How about them ones that make you go pick your own switch, cut your own switch? I got tired one day, just took a chainsaw out there. I cut a limb off. Here, mama, Lord, just kill me with it. How about them that will whip you around and around in a circle? They never got dizzy. If I tried to do that today, I'd be all dizzy. But mama, she could just go around. Wasn't no three licks. It was till my hand got tired, till my arm got tired, till I break the switch. These kids don't know nothing about no abuse. I could talk about abuse. I don't even think they had DCF back then. Now, for those of you who don't know me very well, I'm not an advocate of abuse. I'm not, but I'm a huge advocate of discipline. Discipline is forward-looking. Abuse is just what it is, abuse, and it's wrong. And I'll say this and I'll move on. One lady in our church, she don't go here anymore, thank God. Been years and years ago, she was coming, she was talking to me. She said, well, I'll tell you right now, I ain't going to let nobody talk to my kids any kind of way. And I don't believe in whipping my kids. I go, I know, baby, it shows. And then in the same conversation, she said, but I'll tell you what, I'll beat them. I go, I know, and that shows too. You beat your children, but you don't discipline your children. There's a huge difference. If you don't know the difference, please get with somebody and find out what the difference is. And if you have an issue with that, then you need to get some help. Amen? So let's move on. All right, God will allow trials in our lives because he wants to get our attention. Every trial, every judgment that came in the Old Testament, there were many. Every judgment was not punishment. It was to turn the children of Israel back to God. And every trial that we go through, every bump in the road, it is God trying to turn us back around. But the problem is usually we will turn around like sickness. We will turn around, we will use the antibiotics, but we won't finish them. Because we get to feeling better, and therefore we won't finish the medicine. We won't do what the prescribed said do. So, don't raise your hand, you'll incriminate yourself. How many would go, well, I want you to take this for 2 weeks and I want you to do these exercises for the rest of your life? You got a pill? Well, I'd rather have the pill than have to do the exercises all my life. How about a shot? I'll take a shot. Because we'll take a shot of pain just to get away from a lifetime of discipline. Had a preach right there. Everyday concerns, distractions, and activities can lead us out of the will of God for our lives. Nothing, listen, you know, if you grew up like I did, I grew up that everything was a sin. Basically, if you smiled too much at it, it was probably sin. And then we've went to the other side that nothing is sin. And that's not right. Right? But you've got to recognize, you've got to let the Lord lead you and guide you. But what we've done is we've let the outside world influence us in such a way that we become so inundated and everybody wants our time that we put God and church on the back burner. And you convince yourself, I'm okay and you're okay. But are you on fire for God? Oh, yes, I am. Well, fire gives off light, and a blazing fire gives off heat and warmth. I ain't got time to preach there. Other people also cause us to get out of God's will. See, you got to be careful. If you want to check out where you're headed, look at the people who are closest to you. If you pecking around with a bunch of chickens, you ain't going to be flying with the eagles. Right? We must acknowledge God in all that we do, all that we say, and stay on track. Point number two is this. God allowed Jonah to go through a hardship because he would not obey him. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, preach salvation. Tell him to repent. God told him to go there to warn the people of his impending judgment on the city. Now that brings me to another. And if you want to read that later on, Jonah 1:1-2. But it brings me to another thing. Usually, God will send someone in your circle, or he will speak to you about you getting off track. But we got to be careful we don't get all offended when somebody tells us. Now listen to me. Be careful, you know, because God didn't send you to everybody. Everybody knows that one person in the church trying to tell everybody's business how to run their life, and they can't do nothing about their own life. Like, you ain't got nothing to say to me. But if you have a relationship with somebody, maybe God's using you to go, hey, listen, I'm just concerned about you. You know, there are people in my life, you know, and I'm the pastor. And sometimes I will talk to people, and I've said this many times, some people like me to be their pastor until I need to be their pastor. And then they don't want me to be their pastor, and they ask me stuff like, well, who do you think you are? Well, I thought I was your pastor. I'm sorry. I thought I was your pastor that I was, you know, watching over your soul. I don't know. I don't know why they get upset when I say, well, then go to hell if you want to. I don't mean that disrespectful. I'm just saying. But here's the deal. God told Jonah to go there. Jonah tried to run from God, but later discovered he couldn't get away from him. Now, in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says that Jonah went down to Nineveh. Anytime you run away from God, you're going down. And then he purchased the fare. It's going to make you pay. When you run from God, it's going to cost you. Just trust me, it's going to cost you. Well, it ain't going to cost me no money. It's going to cost you something. Usually time. And then he got on the ship. And let me just tell you something. If you're running away from God, you can always find a ship headed in the direction away from God. You can always find somebody to take you where you don't want to go. You can always find somebody to agree with you. That's why you need some friends around you that are godly, that'll fight you out of a bad habit, that'll fight you out of a bad attitude, that will give you some clear direction in your life. So he boarded a ship to Tarshish. However, God caused a strong wind on the sea, which almost caused the ship to be lost and everything on it to go down. Other people, hear me. He got on this ship, and the other people went through a storm because of Jonah. Other people are affected by your disobedience. Man, see, it's good I ain't in that story of Jonah, because it'd be a different Bible story. Because if Jonah would have said, like he told them people, I'm the reason y'all going through that. And then Jonah said, y'all throw me off. And the people go, no, we will not do that. We're going to row harder. We're going to work harder. That's what it takes. No, Jack, I'd have grabbed him by the nape of the neck, punched him a few times in his face, and then threw him off. Bleeding so the sharks would get him. Right? Don't play that. So you got to be careful who you let get on your ship. You got to be careful who you get in relationship with. Everybody, you know, will be friendly to everybody. Being friends with everybody. I'm friends with all y'all, but I ain't inviting all y'all to my house. Because everyone has levels of friendship. And you need to be careful who you let into your inner circle. Be careful. Now, I'm not talking about so careful you don't let nobody in. Because everybody needs friends. Well, I don't have any because you ain't friendly. That's what the Bible says. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. Right? So, but you've got to understand. And they're here tonight, and you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. One time, John and Charlene, and they're great folks in the church, and they've allowed me to share this story many times, but they was fighting like Jerry Springer stuff. I mean, it was bad. And they showed up at my house one night, on the night that everybody knew was my off night, on a Thursday night when I was spending it with my family, and they was fussing and fighting, and they come up in my driveway, and I was like, what? So I stepped outside my door, and sure enough, here they come, all fussing at each other, walking. I was like, ho, no. And I put my hand on John's chest. I said, y'all come on back out here off my property. What? I go, that's my solitude. I ain't going to let y'all bring y'all Jerry Springer stuff up in my house, because my house is a house of peace, and I ain't going to let all y'all stuff get up in there. Now, y'all can see, thank God, God worked it out, and they did a good job. It was a long story. It's a really funny story that night, but God really worked, and God gave me a great preaching illustration. So, and good friends that I've known for over 20 years now. So, and they've been a blessing to the church and so forth, so on. So anyway, give them a hand. Come on. There. Thank God for restoration. Amen. But what I'm saying is you've got to protect yourself sometimes. Now hear me closely. God has called you to fight, but not fight every battle that you see going on. Because you've only got enough resources to fight the battles he's called you to fight. Because if you fought every battle that everybody invited you in to fight with them, you would have no time for yourself and no time for your family. So you got to be careful who you... Well, Pastor, who do I fight with? Who do I fight for? The people that God gives you a burden for. Amen. Now, you know, do I pray? I pray for everybody who asks me to pray. Pastor, would you pray? I do. And I pray, and I'm sincere about it. But sometimes it's an intercession prayer, and sometimes it's just a prayer. But if it's somebody close to me, oh, it's an intercession. Are you listening to me? Because God's called some people to fight with you. But God didn't call you to fight everybody's battles. Called you to pray for everybody, but he didn't call you to fight for everybody's battle. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever gotten so caught up with everybody else's? Boy, you know, you're fighting everybody else's battle that you neglect your own family. Listen, I know this, and you can take good, godly things and cause them to be wrong in your life. What do you mean? Case in point. Guy that I know, and he said, I don't understand, Pastor. God has called me to intercession. I was like, well, praise God. Well, but me and my wife were having trouble. I go, why? The wife said, because he comes home and goes into his garage that he made prayer war room, blah, 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 and I don't see him 6 nights a week. He stays in there till 2 a.m. fighting. Somebody better come out here and fight for me. Right? All right, that's out of balance. My philosophy in life, my philosophy in ministry is balance. You have to be balanced. And so, you know, his marriage was suffering because he was fighting everybody else's battle in the spirit, but didn't even realize his own home was in jeopardy. Am I making sense to you? So Saul, whatever his name is, Jonah, there it is. I should make stuff up if I don't know it. Other people were affected by his decision to disobey God. And other people are affected by your decision. How many of you ever heard, don't point at nobody, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. No. Because you're connected to somebody. Your disobedience is affecting other people. How long will it take you to obey God? Just how long? We should obey God in every situation. For example, we must obey him in our love walk with others. But I don't like other people. God can change that. And for those of you who say, I don't like people, I'm looking at the camera. That is not what I've said. I've said I used to not like people. You get nervous, ain't you, Mike? You're like, you see you turning away. He's lucky. He's on the camera. Lucky he's looking at me. Lord, I didn't say that, Pastor. I said I used to not like people, but when God called me, he began to change me and give me a love for people. And now I love people to a fault. Because now I love them and they get on my nerve. Because I love them. I want everybody to do well. And when people keep just doing the same old thing and expecting different results, that's the clinical definition of crazy. We should obey God and everyone. We must examine our lives and ourselves daily. All right? Well, Pastor, we got to love everybody. You got to love everybody. I ain't say you got to like everybody. But you got to love everybody. Unfortunately, Jonah had to go through a few unusual trials before he turned back to the Lord. After being thrown into the sea, he spent 3 days and nights in Whale University. But what gets me is it took being in the whale 3 days and nights before he repented. But you know he was resolute in his disobedience. I don't even care. I'm just here. I don't even care. I ain't going to Nineveh. And the Bible said that he spewed him up. He threw him up. The whale threw him back up on stage. Or up on stage. Yeah, he threw me back up on stage. Threw him up on shore. And he said, "Where to, the Lord?" And the Lord said, "Nineveh, Jonah. You could have went in a three-piece suit, but now you're going to go with fish guts all over you and fish juice. You thought your hair looked bad before. That fish mucus is not gel." Number three, I got to quit. I can keep on. God wants to get our attention for three reasons. Number one, he wants us to see our true selves. He wants us to see our true selves. How he sees us. How we are. Not the what we portray, but he wants to see who we really are. You know, I'm pretty transparent in the pulpit. My wife says I'm a little too transparent. She said, "I just wish you wouldn't say everything that comes to your mind." And I say, "I don't." That's a little scary, ain't it? You mean you got a filter, Pastor? Yes, I do. You have no idea what I edit. If I said everything that came to my mind, y'all would probably vote me out. Or leave, one of the two. But we need to have a self-realization. Many times we don't want to face reality. What reality? The reality that I'm in the condition that I am because of me. See, we live in a victim mentality in America. That I'm this way because something's wrong with me because of everybody else. I have a low self-esteem because I was potty trained too early. I had a guy one time, and I worked with this guy, and I told you, I'm not a trained counselor. So, you know, there comes a time that I go, "No, I can't help you." But this one guy was like, "Well, Pastor, I'm a loser because my dad was an alcoholic." And I told him, I go, "Well, you ever thought your dad might have been an alcoholic because you're a loser?" Just something to think about. Because you're about to make me start drinking. I don't even drink, you know. I'm kidding a little bit. Anyway, the worst position we can find ourselves in as Christians is self-deception. That you don't know who you really are, or you don't know to who to really blame. If we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Judging ourselves is not a one-time event, but it's a lifestyle. Man, I hate that too. You know, you ever get up one day and you're thinking, "Man, I'm doing pretty good today." I'm like the old boy that goes, "God, I thank you that I'm not like others. God, I thank you that I've done so well today. Lord, I haven't done anybody wrong. I haven't had any bad thoughts. God, I've done everything you've asked me to do so far today. But God, I'm about to get out of bed now." Number two, he wants us to hear his voice. That's why he wants to get our attention, because he wants us to hear his voice. Because if we'll hear his voice, then we'll go his direction. And then he'll lead us out of a lot of stuff that would be detrimental to us and our walk with him. We need more than food to live and thrive each day. We need God's word. We need God's word, but we also need God's word. Am I getting through to you? His word supplies everything that we will ever need in life. And then number three, he wants to get our attention so we will choose his way. Amen? That's why he wants to get our attention. He wants to get our attention so that we will choose his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me. It's 5 minutes till 8:30, also known as 8:25. I was thinking 8:30, that's when we normally get out, so. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you are in a battle, I want a spirit life team, come and help me. If you're in a battle tonight, pastors, come on, help me. If you're in a battle tonight, whether you feel like you're winning or you're losing, I just want you to know that there are people who will pray with you. That doesn't mean that you've lost. It doesn't mean that you're losing. You know, I saw this the other day, and I thought it was such a great quote. Here's what it said. It said, on my best day, I need to remember or know that I need God as much on my best day as I did on my worst day. And if you're going through battle tonight, maybe, you know, you just need someone to have a word of prayer with you, somebody to agree with you. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. But if you need prayer or want prayer tonight, I want to open up the prayer, the altar tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.